Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, sweet friends. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss. Today's episode is a fun one for me today as I get to introduce you to one of my very close friends, author, speaker, and songwriter, Katie M. Reed. I met Katie several years ago through a mutual friend. We could not be more different in personality and temperament, but our hearts are both to love and serve King Jesus. Today, Katie will share what it means to be a modern-day Martha when it seems like only Mary traits are celebrated. Do you know the story of Mary and Martha from Luke chapter 10? If not, Katie will share it on today's episode. So if prayer or just sitting can still feel like work to you, you will totally relate to today's episode. If you're wired more like me, more contemplative in nature, you'll so appreciate Katie's perspective as well. I've learned so much from her. And today we have a special treat. Instead of closing remarks from me, you'll hear Katie's song, Daughter, used by special permission. I tear up and sometimes flat ball every time I hear it. It is available for purchase on iTunes. You can find today's show notes, ways to connect with today's guests on our blog at momsinprayer.org. And we'd love to engage with you on social media. We are Moms in Prayer International across every site. Remember that we love hearing from you, so drop us a comment. Since I don't get to close us out today, let's say it together at the beginning of the episode. Moms are making the difference. Moms made just like you. Now here's my friend, Katie M. Reed. Well, Katie M. Reed, my good friend, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Lee. This is a treat.
It is so fun to get to be together today. Tell us about yourself and your family.
Well, I am married to a pastor, Adam, and we have five loud and wonderful children, ranging from almost 3 to almost 15. Our girls are our bookends, as we call them. And then we have 3 rough and tumble boys in between them. And most of the people in my family are strong-willed, parents included. And, you know, I think sometimes people wonder how that is, but that's what I know. So I guess God just piled on all those firstborn-esque tendencies in most of my kids to keep me on my toes.
It's so fun having teenagers now, isn't it? Just changes the whole dynamic in your home.
It does. And you know, my husband and I have been in youth ministry for a while. And so we always thought we are going to rock the teenager thing. Like, we weren't scared of that, but I think we should have been, because I'm learning, like, I'm just talking, but I guess it sounds like a lecture, and I'm trying to learn to listen more because the quote unquote lectures are not effective.
No, I'm finding that too. And boy, everything we thought we knew because we had been in ministry with young people before becoming parents is just flying out the door rapidly with our own.
Absolutely.
So many of our friends will recognize your name as the author of Made Like Martha. Tell us the story of beginning to identify yourself as a doer.
Well, for as long as I can remember, I have been wired this way. My dad tells a story that when I was born, you know, I was in the hospital nursery and I would start crying and then all the other babies would start crying. So even from an early age, I was leading the charge and, you know, getting things done. But I love this story in Luke 10, 38 through 42 about Mary and Martha, but it also frustrated me because I identify with Martha and she's the one that gets corrected by the Lord. And I always say, I wish this story would have turned out differently. You know, you keep reading it, but the same results is there, the same message is there. But I just have such an affection for her because I identify with her, and many of my friends are wired that way, wired to get things done.
It's easy probably to hear this rebuke that happens from the Lord or hear what is said to Martha as a rebuke. Tell us that story. Refresh our memories about what happens.
Well, so Jesus and his disciples come to Mary and Martha's home and their brother Lazarus. And Martha is busily getting ready, making preparations for her guests, as a good hostess would, right? And Mary is sitting listening at his feet. You know, there's nothing wrong with that either. But as a Martha, I could so identify that, you know, here's Martha goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, tell my sister to help me out," basically. And he doesn't say that as much as I want him to. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by all these preparations. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen it, and it will not be taken away from her." And for so long, Martha's gotten a bad rap because of this story. But I think what we need to remember is Jesus disciplines those he loves. In John 11:5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So it wasn't that he didn't love her. It's because he loved her that he corrected one thing that she needed to work on. He wasn't rejecting the totality of who Martha was. And I think that's where we've gotten it wrong in the past, that we thought there must be something wrong with being a doer because Martha was a doer. Jesus corrected her. Well, I believe it's because he loved her. He pointed that out so that she could learn to serve and to worship from a place of peace instead of striving and panic.
Well, all of us have had people coming over, and the things have to get done so that people can be taken care of. So, of course, someone needs to be doing the work. I think every mom listening can probably identify with being the one who turns into a hostess.
Hostzilla, as I like to say.
Hostzilla is perfect. I mean, shoving things places and cooking and like vacuum the house fast. Why are you putting Legos back on the floor? I mean, like, we can do that. But is there any truth to being busy because sitting with the Lord's hard?
You know, I think there is, Lee. And I think it's twofold. I think sometimes we do stay busy because we might be trying to avoid hard things, right? I think sometimes, though, we're busy because life demands it in the moment. You know, if you are a single mom, it's hard. You know, there's more on your shoulders. If you're a mom whose spouse isn't very a wife whose spouse isn't very helpful, sometimes things just need to get done. But I also think that, yes, it can be avoidance behavior sometimes too. But I think the other piece to that is sometimes we forget that, you know, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So even if we're carting kids around, that still can be worship. It doesn't just look like sitting at his feet, although that is important too.
I imagine that there's probably some shaming being attached to being a doer rather than a worshiper. And it's not even that Martha wasn't a worshiper. It was that she was busy, right?
Right. And I think in our society right now, as women, it's so tricky because on one hand, we've got kind of this camp saying, hustle, rush, the sky's the limit. We have opportunities like never before, which is exciting, but that doesn't mean we have to say yes to every opportunity that knocks on our door. But then we've got this other camp that's saying, hush, slow down, be present in the moment. And so this yank and tug can do a number on us because, well, which is it? Am I supposed to hustle or am I supposed to hush? Or is there some of both, you know? And I think it really comes back to how is God leading me today? And am I stewarding well what he's entrusted to me? When I hear the word balance, I always think of like, I've got to keep all these balls spinning, all these plates spinning, all these balls in the air. And I'm just afraid I'm going to mess it all up. But when I think about, okay, God, give me the strength to steward the next moment well, whether that is praying for my kids, whether that is organizing a play at church, whether that is a work deadline, I think the middle ground between kind of this striving and slowing is asking God to lead our days and for him to help us write that to-do list and to guide our steps. Because if we lean too much in one way or the other, I think if we lean too much in this kind of rush and hustle mode, we're going to burn out. If we lean too much in this not doing a lot of things, we're not going to do those things that God's prepared in advance for us to do for the good of the kingdom.
How has this played out in your prayer life? What does slowing look like when you're Martha to grow and strengthen the area of prayer?
Well, full disclosure, prayer is hard for me. And I know I've told you that before, Lee. Like, I would rather study the Greek definitions of something in the Bible. That comes easier to me. But I think I've seen time and time again the power of prayer. And it's one of those things that it's like, how foolish am I and how disobedient am I to be prayerless, you know, or not pray? Because for one, our prayers don't have to be an hour long. And in this season of my life, I don't have that luxury. And so it's more like, God, help. God, give me wisdom with this. A friend challenged me a while ago. You know, she was saying, of course we want God's will to be done, but some of us don't really pray the things we want to pray because we're afraid God's not going to come through. And I call this bold and unedited prayers. You know, God can do whatever he wants, but as his beloved daughters, whether we're more like Mary or more like Martha, we're beloved daughters if we have received him as our Savior and Lord. And so he wants us to come to him like with a good father. He wants to hear what your heart's desires are. He's not saying, well, you really shouldn't, you know, ask for that. That's not realistic. And just to illustrate this, my sister-in-law lives in the Detroit area, and she has numerous international friends. And I was kind of jealous of this because I'm like, oh, I would love to learn about other cultures. And but we're more in this farming community in the middle of Michigan. And so I was pumping gas one day. I'm like, God, I would love more international friends. And I kid you not, the next day, a friend of mine said, hey, we have this international tea once a month with all these women from different countries whose spouses are working at the university. Would you like to come? And I just had to chuckle because I wonder if God was just waiting for me to pray that prayer because it was his will. And so it was just like, yes, here are friends. And literally I had like 10 new friends and I kept running into them at swim practice and at the grocery store. And it was just a reminder of when we pray God's heart, he just delights to answer those prayers as a good father does.
It's so well said. There are so many times where we just need to pray God's heart because he has things reserved for us to do. But what's happened in your heart, Katie, that began to undo the personal shaming that took place? When you heard Martha, Martha, what changed? What pivoted in your life that you began to hear that not as a shame, but as a role of a loved daughter?
For me, when I look at this passage in Luke 10, 38 through 42, I think God is speaking to Martha's heart posture, right? Within, whether she sat at his feet or kept preparing for the guests. I don't think that was the issue as much as what was going on the inside. And what I believe was going on the inside and happens with a lot of us is what I call the hired help mentality. You might be a Christian already, and you know you're saved by grace, but yet you're trying to earn your place of favor when really Jesus already did that for us on the cross. And so a hired help mentality is kind of like, it's all up to me to get things done. If I don't work hard, I'm going to lose what I have. My value comes from my work. You might have trouble celebrating others' success because it feels like a threat to your success, your happiness. You're afraid that you're going to lose your position in the Lord. And what shifted, I believe, in Martha, and I know happened in me, is to realize I'm a beloved daughter. I'm not the hired help. God redeemed me, and he wants me to enjoy him. And then work from that place of knowing I'm already loved, not work from a place or pray from a place or study the word from a place as if I've got to stay in line or I lose his love. When his love is a gift, his grace is a gift for us to receive. It's not this prize to be earned. God helping me understand that made all the difference because then when I pray, it's not like, well, I better check this off the list so I'm a good Christian. It's like I get to talk to a dad that loves me even on my worst day. It's a privilege versus this duty.
We often talk about in our friendship that you're my Martha friend because, Katie, as we spend time together, I know you have to-do lists for your to-do list. they're a mile long. That's just the way you are. And that's never been my wiring. And so we joke around the Mary Martha thing all the time. But how does having a Mary friend help stretch you? And I'm about to ask you that question, but give you my response too. But I also know you have Mary mentors in your life, not just peers. What does that do for you? And why would you encourage our Martha friends to find Mary friends?
Well, I know for me, like I said, if I just was full steam ahead Martha, I would burn out, and I have. And I need friends like you, Lee, and other Mary mentors, I love that phrase, to keep me grounded on what is really important. And there's things on my to-do list that can be important, but I can easily just keep going and going and going like this train, you know, that won't stop. And to remember the main things. I know, Lee, I've come to you when I've been stressed out. You help kind of keep my feet on the ground of like, let's transfer the weight of this to God, because your shoulders weren't meant for it, but God was designed to do the heavy lifting. And so I think it's such a gift to have friends that have a different personality bent, because we're stronger together. And I have Martha friends that come and help me clean my fridge, which is so gross, you know, but it is, that's an act of worship too. And they're helping ease the load. But my Mary friends help me remember that God and people and prayer are important. And if I left to my own devices, I would get sidetracked from what the main thing is.
Well, in our friendship, I think that it's also my job to remind not just you, Katie, but other people that prayer is work. And Moms in Prayer, we see that. Prayer is not doing nothing. It actually is a huge work, and it takes discipline and those kinds of things. But there's also time to rise up and get busy with our hands and our feet on the next project that there is to do, or to serve and live that out, to stay in our hearts, remain in a posture of prayer in our hearts, but to get busy with our feet. And in Moms in Prayer, we have this balance of interacting with our neighbors, saying the words. Maybe we're the ones who are called to share the gospel. That is vital too. And I love it, Katie, when you give me a swift kick in the pants sometimes and go, okay, it's time to act on these thoughts that you've had running through your head.
Yeah. And that's a great reminder that prayer can be work. And I think that if you're listening and you're a Martha that struggles, you know, with your prayer life, like I have, we are women that get things done, and we are women that persevere. And to do that, to realize that prayer is actually getting more done by putting that responsibility on the Lord and the in the heavenly realm. You know what I mean? I think one day, I mean, getting Holy Spirit sprinkles here thinking about it. I think one day in heaven, man, there's going to be lines of these grandmas and these moms and these mentors that no one ever heard of, or, you know, some people did, but that we hadn't heard of, that just went to battle in prayer, and generations were changed because of it. And we can participate in that today.
I have goosebumps all over imagining those lines of women, scores of women who the world never knew their names, but they impacted eternity. Katie, how are you cultivating prayer for your family right now?
Oh, that's a good question. You're challenging me. One thing we're doing today is we have this worship conference for our community, and I love to sing and I love to worship. And I think about, you know, that story in the Old Testament where the worshipers went forth and the battle was won. And so for me, I'm bringing the whole family to the worship conference, and just to pray and to worship with other believers. For me, the accountability of doing that with other people is huge, because left to myself, I often neglect it. But we have this corporate prayer at our church that we just started going to as well, because I need, as a to-do person, to get it on the calendar. And that's what's so great about Moms in Prayer too. It's like to gather together and fit that spot that you know your other people are going to be looking for you. And so I think that's one way that our family does that, and other people can as well.
I love that. And this is probably a question I haven't prepared you for, but I know you're learning in real time about prayer and surrender right now. Can you touch on what you've seen God do even in the last few days?
Well, yes. So there's certain areas in my life that I think the enemy just knows are vulnerable areas for me. And one of them is our finances. When we have financial strain or lean times, it's one of those sure things to kick me back into that mindset of the hired help mentality. Like, I'm an orphan. I've been left all alone to fend for myself. You know, where's my good father to help me walk through this? And we had this mom's reset event in our community, and the worship leader was singing the song about your love never fails, it never gives up. And one of those lines says, nothing can separate us from your great love. And in that moment, you know how sometimes God helps you see a lyric in a different way? I realized, okay, nothing can separate me from his love, not even a broken down van, not even a lean bank account, not a health diagnosis. That sometimes those things happen and then we feel like his love is in question, but none of those things can keep us from his love. And it just reminded me of all the women around the world that lean times is their normal, that those things are not separating them from God's love. In fact, they may even draw them closer to him. And so we had a situation with our van and I just surrendered it to the Lord. Finally, you know, it was just like, I'm going to have joy regardless because it doesn't look like this is going away. So instead of just, you know, having a pity party, I'm just going to give it to you. And literally, God provided for this really nice van that even has a sunroof. Have you ever heard of a thing, a sunroof in a van? And I was laughing, like, I kind of wish I would have surrendered like 3 months ago. Maybe we would have had the van sooner, but God's not an if-then God. But I think he accomplished something in my heart that he knew needed to be done. And it was such a gift. Like, our joy doesn't come from whether our van is broken down or not. Even if our kids are not walking with the Lord, that our joy is found in Christ. And when it is, it's unchanging and unshakable.
So well said, Katie. And I'm sure at least half of our audience has just related to absolutely everything you said, because all of us are experiencing lean times in one area or another in our spiritual life. And that's growing us. And I'm sure we've got half of our audience that are identifying with the Martha thing. Can you pray for us as we wrap up today for those that are struggling to accept this loved position?
Absolutely. I'd be honored to. Well, dear Lord, we thank you that you are a good father. I lift up every person listening, anyone who is doubting your goodness right now. May they know that nothing they are going through can separate them from your love that was proven on the cross in Christ Jesus. For those that relate oh so closely to Martha, would you whisper your truth to them that they are loved and that they are beloved daughter because they exist, because you've wired worth into our DNA. And our to-do list, God, it has value, but it doesn't determine our value. And so, God, help us to sit at your feet when it's time for that, to stand and use those feet to bring good news to other people when it's time for that. But may we do those things because we're already loved. It's not to get your love, because your love and your grace, your salvation are a gift for us. We can choose to receive it or not, God. But it's not something we have to earn. Would you help us? Would you solidify that truth into our hearts? And may we go forth with joy, knowing that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Katie, thanks for being with us today. I learned so much.
My pleasure. And thanks so much to Moms in Prayer and all you guys are doing to impact this generation and generations to come. Shoulders.
check off my list of obligations. I strive to meet their expectations, doing all I can to earn their love, wondering if who I am is enough. In grace, adopted in love. blood when it's all said.